Mesech's Beitzah Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph until Perek Beis Mishnah Dalet. The next couple of Mishnahs discuss cases where Yom Tov falls directly before Shabbos, and it is important to note that although the only permission to do certain forms of work on Yom Tov is for the sake of food, and we saw at the end of the previous Perek that is only permitted if it is for the sake of food to be eaten on Yom Tov itself, but it is still forbidden to prepare food on Yom Tov for the sake of the next day. Nevertheless, one is allowed to prepare as much food as he likes on Yom Tov itself, even if he knows that he will certainly not eat all of it on Yom Tov. And this is true for every Yom Tov, regardless of whether it falls just before Shabbos or not. And the reason for this is a very important principle known as Hoyel v'imikloy le'orchim chazilei. Since if lots of guests were to come, then it would be fit for him to prepare it, and he would be allowed to prepare all of that food. So even now that he has not got guests, he is allowed to prepare as much food as he likes, since there is a possibility that guests will come, and he would then serve them that food. And again, this principle is known as Hoyel v'imikloy le'orchim chazilei. And often this principle is just known as Hoyel for short. Now this is all based on a midoraisa level. However, midirabbanan, it is forbidden to cook anything on Yom Tov for the sake of the next day, for the sake of a weekday. If you know that there aren't going to be any guests who come, so you cannot use the principle of hoyel midirabbanan unless you know that there will be guests, and so it is forbidden to prepare more food than one will need himself on Yom Tov. However, if the day after Yom Tov is Shabbos, then the rabbanan were lenient, and they said that for the sake of the honor of Shabbos, to make sure there will be enough food for Shabbos, it is permitted to prepare that on Yom Tov, as long as one makes an Erev Tavshilin. And what an Erev Tavshilin consists of is one or two cooked dishes which one cooks already before Yom Tov. This again gives more honor to Shabbos, and as well as that, it will make sure that nobody ends up cooking on a Yom Tov for the sake of a regular weekday, since they'll realize that Shabbos is different. When Yom Tov falls before Shabbos, so one starts preparing food before Yom Tov even, they see a clear difference, and so they will not come to prepare food on a Yom Tov which falls before a weekday, for the sake of the weekday. So now let's see this inside the Mishnah. Yom Tov Shcholios Erev Shabbos, a Yom Tov which falls on a Erev Shabbos, on a Friday. Lo yavashal adam batchilom Yom Tov LaShabbos, a man may not cook at the beginning, he cannot start cooking from Yom Tov on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos, avam vashahu leYom Tov, but he is allowed to cook for the sake of the Yom Tov itself, vim hoiser, and then if he has any left over, then hoiser la Shabbos. So he can leave that over for Shabbos and eat that on Shabbos. So this in essence is referring to the rule of hoyel, that one is allowed to prepare way more than he knows he's going to eat himself on Yom Tov, because there's a possibility that guests will come on Yom Tov, and he'll serve that food to them. And because of that, midoraisa, it is totally permitted to cook whatever he likes on Yom Tov. However, it's still generally forbidden midrabbanan to cook more than he needs on Yom Tov. But to solve that problem, he can make an Erev Tavshilin, but is a Tavshilin Erev Yom Tov. He should make a cooked dish on the day before Yom Tov begins, v'sirich lav la'Shabbos, and rely on that for the sake of Shabbos. That would be as if he began cooking already before Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov he's just continuing what he already began. Alright, now how much does one need to cook before Yom Tov begins in order to show that he has begun to prepare for Shabbos? B'Shamay say, Shnei Tavshilin. One has to prepare at least two cooked dishes before Yom Tov begins, because on a regular Shabbos, one eats at least two cooked dishes. So if he cooks anything less than that, then it is not recognizable that he has started preparing for Shabbos. Uvisil Omrim b'Besilel say, Tavshil Echad. It's enough to prepare just one cooked dish, since sometimes one does only eat one cooked dish on Shabbos. V'shovin, and they both agree, B'dog u'Beitzah She'olav. If one prepares a fish and an egg on top of the fish, even though he'll eat that together, Shein Shnei Tavshilin, that is still considered to be like two separate cooked dishes, since it's already considered very significant, and one would often have just that on Shabbos, as part of a bread meal, of course. Now remember, the whole point of the Erev Tavshilin is that it's considered to be the first part of that which you are cooking for Shabbos. So Acholoi, if he ate it, Ishaovad, or it got lost before he cooked things on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. Loivash olav batchila. He is not allowed to start again cooking for Shabbos now, because he has lost his Erev Tavshilin. So it will be considered like starting anew, which is forbidden midirabbanan. Again, midoraisa will be permitted because of the principle of hoyil, that guests might come. But midirabbanan hoyil is not enough. But the Mishnah does add that v'im shir mimenu kol shehu, if any amount of the food remains, and the Gemara explains that it has to be at least the size of an olive, a kazayas of food, so even though you have not got the entire Erev Tavshilin, and you might only have one dish left, simich al olah Shabbos, nevertheless you can rely on that for the sake of Shabbos, since it is considered to be a continuation of what you started before Yom Tov.